we were having a conversation off the air a few minutes ago and realized that Amy and I kind of disagree about something. And so we wanted to bring it to you so that we could establish that I'm right and that she's not. And it all has to do with this recent inappropriate interaction, digital interaction, between a teacher and a student. And so we have Dave Cauley here with KSL News Radio. Dave, give us an idea of what happened, how this came about with this teacher and student.
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting situation. You had this teacher's aide at a charter school up in Weber County who apparently worked as a, I guess the police are saying, as a monitor in the lunchroom. And as part of that duty, got to know this 14-year-old girl and obtained her Snapchat account. And so they start trading messages between each other over Snapchat. And somehow, as is the case in these kinds of situations, other students get wind of what's going on, even though Snapchat is supposed to be very secret, right?
Yeah, we've shared several times.
Well, and many of these Snapchats were very inappropriate.
Right.
They weren't just, hey, how you doing? Great!
So it progressed.
Yes.
And some of the other students who were seeing this apparently became so concerned that they went to the school administration and said, this is not right. You've got a guy in a position of trust here who's involved with this 14-year-old girl. The school fired this individual, Zachary Arrington, and notified the Weber County Sheriff's Office. They started an investigation from there, obtained some warrants to go search the phones, and apparently were able to recover images, right, that they had been sending to each other. And in their interviews, these charges that were filed today say that Arrington actually admitted to meeting this girl outside of school several times, even planning to go over to her house when her parents weren't there. He's only 20. She's 14.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of in that area where, you know, he's not a 50-year-old teacher or something, but he's an adult. She's a child.
He's an administrator.
Well, he's somebody who, as a teacher's aide, you know, he wasn't leading the class, but he has close interaction with students.
Yes.
And it's enough that in the eyes of police, in the eyes of the law, that's a pretty severe violation of that trust.
And so now he's facing counts including sexual exploitation of a minor and obstruction of justice. And we say he's only 20, but to me, there's a huge difference between a relationship between a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Absolutely.
And a 20-year-old and a 14-year-old, because Jay and I both have kids around that age.
Yeah.
And just the fact that he is not a student.
Yeah, well exactly. And you have somebody who the parents are supposed to trust, right? And that's the big issue here. The school hires somebody to help out. And the expectation is that person is going to be at the highest possible level of ethics. You want people who have interaction with kids, especially young kids, to be totally above board. And when these kind of situations come to light, it really undermines that. And you can understand why the law takes such a serious look at it, because there can't be tolerance of those kinds of relationships between adults and children.
Now, you did have a chat with Weber County Sheriff's Lieutenant Lane Finley about this, and he said that he realizes social media can be a problem and that they need to report anything inappropriate.
Obviously, with kids and teenagers, you know, there's so much that goes on with social media, and you know, we just always encourage everyone that if they're seeing something inappropriate or they get information about something, to not hesitate to come forward. There's this Friends Hotline that was just implemented in Weber County where kids can anonymously text information that will go to law enforcement and school officials, so they don't even have to give their name, but they can at least give us a heads up, you know, if there's a threat or there's something going on that's not right.
Which is great, which is what happened here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what's fascinating about this case in particular. You have social media in one way enabling the activity, but then at the same time coming in and undoing it.
Yeah.
Because the students who saw it were able to take that information that was shared and bring it to the authorities.
And we talked about this with Snapchat before. These photos don't disappear. Someone can take a screenshot. Unlikely
it's
the girl
illusion.
Did that. But someone can come up to the girl and take a photo with their phone.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but the police, when they, you know, they get a warrant, they go seize the phone, they're able to use forensic tools that are not available to you and I,
mm-hmm.
that can find cached files, that can find, you know, deleted photos, that kind of thing. And so just because you think you are operating in this kind of secret realm doesn't necessarily mean you are.
All right. Thanks so much. Dave Cauley reporting to us from the KSL newsroom And this story got us all talking here at KSL because we all have kids in schools. And is this appropriate ever to have a teacher communicating with your kid privately through any form? So we can talk texting, email, private messages on Facebook, private messages on Twitter, Snapchat, you name them. There are a million ways that teachers and other people in administrative positions at schools can communicate privately to your student. I don't see a time when that ever needs to be done without a parent being involved. And because I'm saying, okay, if a teacher has to text my student, my child, could I just not be in on the text? Like, is that difficult? Is there ever a time when a private communication has to happen between my student and a teacher on social media?
I say absolutely, all the time.
When does that have to happen?
Last night, 10 o'clock, last night, my daughter comes home from a basketball game. She's got math homework to do. She is confused about the assignment. She texts her math teacher at 10 o'clock and he, being the great teacher that he is, clarifies the assignment. She gets it done.
She can't ask last a friend night, who's in the class?
She asked the teacher. What is the issue there? I mean, to me, what we're doing here is we're saying because of the actions of the few, you can't use this research. You can't use this resource. Because right now, it's already against the law to do what this guy did. There's already rules against it. So we're going to live in this fantasy land that says, okay, we'll make it against the rules for teachers to do it and students to do it, and then they won't do it. It's already against the rules to do what he did. It's already against the rules to have these types of relationships using social media and things like that, and it still happens. So to me, making additional rules and limiting the tools for teachers gives you a false sense of security, and it doesn't solve any problems. But when we come back, I'll give you some idea. I did a little research before we came on the air about how often this is really happening, because I'm afraid that when we hear about these news stories, they become very big, and we get this sense that this is happening all over the place, and it's this terrible epidemic, and that rules have to be changed, and things need to be done.
Well, that seemed like a time here at KSL. It was once a week.
Well, I'll give you the numbers. I have national numbers, and then we'll see. We'll take your text messages at 57500. If you think that this should be disallowed for any teacher to text or use social media directly with your student.
I say, doesn't have to happen.
And I say, as a parent, you can make that choice and don't let it happen. But don't take it away from good people who are using it for good reasons.
We have been talking about this story out of West Haven. Now, don't be confused, because Scott Seeger just reported on a different, similar story talking about a teacher and inappropriate relationship with a student. And both of these had to do with Snapchat in this case. And both of these had to do with the teacher, or in this case, the teacher's aide, then deleting any evidence of that off their phones and charged with obstruction of justice. One here in West Haven that we're talking about, that's in Weber County, and a separate one happening in Juab County.
Correct.
And I was saying that my belief is that I just don't see a time when a teacher or teacher's aide would have to send a private message in any form, text, email, anything that I couldn't be included on. And we do have texters saying, well, I did it because I was in student council and I text with my advisor all the time. I just think anything like that could be in either a public setting on social media or could loop in another person.
Could be. And I believe as a parent, you have every right and ability to limit your children's contact via social media with anybody you choose. And so you're more than able to set those standards and rules for your children. The question is, should we pass laws and create rules to set those standards for everybody?
Well, and there are school districts that do this.
Yes.
And we kind of asked around locally. This is from the Canyon School District. And they have, Jay, you were trying to point out, we already have laws that are against
already.
This. That's kind of what their rules say. It's the inappropriate boundary invasion. That's what they call it. So they're saying anything that doesn't have an educational purpose and result in abuse of the employee-student professional relationship.
For example, this case in JUEB, this coach slash teacher asked the student to send inappropriate pictures via Snapchat. That is already clearly a violation of everything legally and otherwise. So you had rules in place. They didn't stop it. So I don't believe that an escalation of those rules is going to stop anything. And I also believe that there is a huge overreaction because of the sense and feeling that this is a very prevalent problem. So I went and I did some research. I found some reports. And let me give you some numbers so that we get some reality about how often this is happening. I took the number of teachers in the nation and the number of cases reported over the last 5 years. The number, if you assume that each case is individual, which is probably not the case. You probably have cases where teachers had multiple accusations. But if you say one case reported per one teacher, the number comes out to 0.0008.
Even the teachers who are using social media, the vast majority are using it appropriately.
0.008. Now, if you take the number of total students, and let's say how many students among all the students across the nation have reported an incident, the number 0.00005.
But just because it doesn't happen very often doesn't mean we shouldn't be concerned about it. And the fact is, when you let students and teachers communicate privately, it can lead to something that may never have happened because it was much more difficult.
Certainly, and it also happened well before texting occurred. The point is, these activities that these people already engaged in are already against the rules and they're already against the law. So why then, when that is already the case, would you go out and take away legal, fruitful, productive interaction? My 17-year-old texts on a regular basis with most of her teachers. And I would call it very beneficial to her education. If a teacher asked her to meet somewhere or asked her to send inappropriate pictures or tried to escalate a relationship in any way, that's already against the law.
And she would tell you because you have a really good relationship.
She would.
But
I can't say that about every
student.
And again, my point would be, and I think this is the ultimate point, if you don't trust that, then you pass the own law, your own law in your own house. And you say, no, you will not text your teachers. No, you will not Snapchat your teachers. No, I'll take away your phone before I let that happen. And you as the parent can have that ultimate say. But why would you then say I can't based upon those numbers? 0.00005.
This texter says, I am a teacher. Or no, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't give out my cell number, nor would I text any of my students ever. I realize most teachers are in class right now, but I am kind of wondering, and a lot of people are texting, but 57500 is our number. What is the policy at your school? Is this something that happens a lot with your kids and their teachers? Are there private messages going back and forth? I work with youth in the church, in our church, and I don't feel comfortable private messaging the young men who I'm dealing with. I always try to include a parent or something like that. I think as a teacher, you would want to do that to protect yourself. Just so nothing can be misconstrued.
Yeah.
And you know how kids can get things out of context and then all the trouble in the world can break loose. And so I see it as a protection for teachers and also just a way to make it may happen anyway, but why make it easier? Why make it easier? And I think there's so many kids out there who don't have parents who are close.
Well,
are very vulnerable.
I think you think about all of the circumstances that are out there that can be abused. All of the opportunities that anybody has to commit an act against a child. Are we suggesting that we live in a society that because of the sins of the extreme minority, that we continue down this path of removing rights, removing powerful tools that are out there, removing the ability for good people to do good things with children because of the, we're going to live so much in fear that we're just going to, anytime something like this happens, we're going to, oh, that's another thing. Some other idiot out there did some, that's another thing you can't do. That's another thing you can't do. If you follow that road, you're living in a life of absolute fear. And I tell you what, I refuse to go there. I refuse to go there, and I think that we should let good teachers use good tools with good students and extremely and harshly punish those who abuse the system, and that's what we do right now. It's already against the rules. These teachers are being punished for what they have done. Why then go around and make it so that my daughter's coach can't communicate with her? So that my students can't reach out to a teacher for some extra help?
Well, I am not living in fear, but I do think there are logical steps you can take to help your kids be safe and to help those things
that.
Be appropriate. And so your daughter's coach can text her, but what's wrong with just including you in the loop?
Nothing. If that's what I wanted it, what I wanted, and as a parent, you can have that. And there are already laws preventing him from doing anything else. It's perfect. Let it be.